invite you to open your Bibles up to James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. And I just want to take a moment as you do that to say whether you're opening up to the front of the bulletin or hitting the Pew Bible app. If you have a Bible app on your phone and you want to use that, please do, by all means. Whatever it takes to help you engage in and connect with the Word of God, we want to support and encourage. So if that's your preferred style, by all means, whip out that phone and put it on mute. Because if it rings, I will answer it. Just warning. Go ahead and use that Bible app as well. But I'm telling you, if your neighbor catches you on Facebook during the service, they're going to tell me. So just keep that in mind. Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. James writes, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers or sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, this morning we are continuing our summer sermon series, Do Something. In fact, we have just two sermons left this morning and next week, and we will have wrapped up our summer walk through the book of James. We've been working through this book because we know that what we believe as Christians is important, but just as important is what we do with what we believe, how we put that into practice. But saying that we need to practice what we preach or believe is easy. Figuring out exactly how to do that, well, it isn't as easy. And that's where James has come in to help us figure out how are we supposed to do something with what we say we believe. Last week, we saw that when we remember the fate of worldly living, we find that true life is only found in Jesus Christ. Now, you might recall that a key part of the opening verses of chapter 5 is that James is pointing the finger at the wealthy, rich oppressors of the Christian community. And we talked about the somewhat well-known proverbial truth that, once again, when you point the finger at somebody else, what do you have? Come on, be bold. Three fingers pointing back at you, and that we would be wise to heed the warning of the three fingers that James is offering to us in that passage. But as we said, James is justly and rightly pointing the finger at those wealthy oppressors. His accusations are just and they are true because they were oppressing and persecuting the early church. And that leads to a question. When persecution comes, when life gets hard, when trials and tribulations come our way, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to endure? Well, that's the question James is dealing with head on in our passage this morning. And as we dig into these verses, we will see that we can be patient when we remember that Jesus Christ's return is sure and certain. Now, one of my lifelong struggles has been with being patient. The fact of the matter is, I am not a patient person. I get frustrated at how long it takes the microwave to pop a bag of popcorn, because 2 minutes is an eternity, right? No, it's just, okay. See, I struggle with patience. I think many of our fast food restaurants
don't quite understand what the word fast is supposed to mean. I actually watch those commercials from Jimmy John's and think that's the way it ought to work, right? Jimmy, you know, the commercial where you walk in and before you finish your order, your sandwich is ready. Yes, that should be the norm. That's why I like Chick-fil-A. They're almost that fast. And traffic jams? Well, that's actually where things for me get a little bit weird. I have to admit, as long as the cars are actually moving, or if I can see what the problem is, then I can practically have the patience of Job. We ran into this on our way taking Peter to space camp this summer. We were just south of Bristol, and there had been a car accident just over the hill in front of us, and a car caught fire. I saw the smoke before the car stopped. This is just a quarter mile in front of us. I saw the smoke, and of course, everybody stopped right after we passed the exit ramp, right? Because that's fate. But I knew what the problem was, and I knew we weren't going anywhere for a long time. And it's like, all right, we're just going to hang out until the police get us off the highway. And sure enough, that highway was closed for 12 hours. We sat on it for one. But that's fine. I knew what the problem was, right? It's when I can't see the problem. It's when it doesn't make sense. It's when everybody just stops for no reason. It's why I don't drive on Interstate 95 if I can help it at all, which is why I like living here, because 95 is way over there. Right? Because it just stops, and it doesn't make any sense. Suffice it to say, when we come to a dead stop on the interstate, if I were a Catholic, I would probably have to visit the confession the next day. But I'm not, so I don't have to. Over the years, God has taught me to be more patient than I used to be, but it is still something that I struggle with on a regular basis. In fact, over the years, I've actually gotten to a place of learning to be very careful in praying to ask God to help me be more patient. You see, there are two prayers that I think we should pray with great caution. One of those prayers, obviously, is the prayer for patience. The other prayer is the prayer for humility. And the reason I think we should pray those with great caution is, one, because God will always answer those prayers, and usually somewhat quickly. And then secondly, we should be careful praying for those because the way He teaches us humility is usually through humiliation. And the way He teaches us patience is by putting us in impatient situations. They are important and necessary lessons, though, that we need to learn, but they are very hard lessons to learn. The early church found itself in a very similar kind of place. In the first decades of the early church, the persecution was incredibly intense, and you can get a sense of that trial, the difficulty of that, by reading the first few chapters of the book of Acts. The first 6 or 7 chapters really paint the picture of the incredible persecution the church faced. Or read the second half of Hebrews chapter 11, especially the ending part of it, as you really get a very vivid, visceral picture of what the early church suffered. But we also received a hint of this persecution at the very beginning of our letter with James. James opened chapter 1 with these words: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." And then here, at the beginning of chapter 5, James returns back to this theme and goes into specifics in just how the Christian community was being persecuted and oppressed in our reading from last week. The wealthy oppressors were hoarding resources that other people needed. They were stealing their wages and the things they needed for daily life. And they were even outright murdering the Christians. James now turns to providing practical advice in what the Christian community should be doing in response to this persecution. What's incredible, I think, about his advice is what he doesn't say. He doesn't say to fight back. He doesn't say to start a revolution. He doesn't say to write your congressperson. He doesn't say to stage a sit-in or even begin a boycott. Compared to what he does say, those things are the easy way out. That's the easy way to handle it. James' counsel is that when persecution comes our way, we should be patient because the Lord is coming. Three times in our passage, he tells us to be patient, and twice he speaks of perseverance. I have to admit, this has not always been one of my favorite passages to read. Being patient isn't my default mode. It's not what I lean on. But when we see the three reasons that James gives for our patience, we realize that ultimately, when times of trial and tribulation come, of suffering and persecution, being patient is really the only response that we can give. James tells us to be patient because God's timing is perfect. James writes, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains." This gets back to one of my weak spots when it comes to being patient. As I said, if I can understand the reason for the delay, if I can see what's happening behind the scenes, I can be as patient as Job. But if I can't see the reason for it, then I start getting really antsy. And I can't sit still and I get frustrated. But James points out that some of the most important work in our life is done where you can't even see anything happening. The farmer plants his seeds in the ground, and for months, nothing. As far as we can tell, there is nothing that's going on. Now the farmer is waiting for the rains to do their work and waiting for the land to yield its crop. There is a lot happening, but you can't see any of it. Which is why I don't think I could ever be a farmer. I would be digging the seeds up every single day to see if they were doing their thing, if they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, which would be a really good way to make sure that nothing ever grows, because you can't disturb them or they won't grow. And that's the thing we need to remember. We can be patient until the Lord's coming, because God's timing is perfect. Just because we can't see what's going on and what's happening doesn't mean that nothing is happening at all. James echoes this point in his second epistle as well. He writes, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, brothers and sisters, God's timing is perfect. But he sees time completely differently than we do. God is at work behind the scenes and under the surface. And as the creator of time, he exists outside of time. Start thinking about that too much and it's going to give you a headache. But we can trust that that means that God is always going to come through. Every year, God has provided a reminder for us and an encouragement to be patient, because every year the crops are planted in the spring and they're harvested in the fall. Over and over, year after year. Be patient, because Jesus is coming, even if it doesn't yet seem like it. James then tells us to be patient because the judge is coming. He writes, "You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. You remember? Do you remember when you were a child, when you were growing up, and you had what was surely one of those rare moments when you did something wrong, right? And your mom caught you in whatever. And I know it was rare. It was regular for me. But I know for you, it was hardly ever, maybe once, right? And what happened? You broke mom's favorite vase because you were playing baseball inside. Again, one time, I'm sure, right? Or she asked you to do a chore and you didn't do it, right? And so what did mom say? Just wait till your father gets home. Right? Oh man, when my mom would say that to me, again, for me it was like once ever, I'm sure. Ever. I knew that was it. I was in for it now. And I knew Dad was going to come home. And mom was going to tell Dad. And there was no avoiding it at all. Well, that's the idea here. The judge, Jesus, he's already at the door. And as Jesus himself says in Revelation 3, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus hasn't yet come through the door, but he is so very close. And there will be a reckoning. Now, for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it is going to be a joyous reckoning. One to look forward to. The idea of Jesus being at the door, the judge standing at the door, should fill the Christian with hope, with excitement. For those who haven't, and particularly for those who haven't and have been persecuting and oppressing the church, the Christians, it is going to be a reckoning that is going to be the worst of judgments. And James once again returns back to his theme of not grumbling against each other, as he did earlier in chapter 4, because when we grumble against each other, we are basically putting ourselves in the position of the judge. But we aren't the judge. Jesus is the judge. And I promise you, he is a far better and far more qualified judge than you and I could ever hope to be. James then gives us the third reason to be patient. He tells us to be patient because blessings come through perseverance. He writes, brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This also ties back to what James said at the beginning of the letter in chapter 1, verse 12. He says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, perseverance, as one commentator defines it, is the grace and resolution to remain faithful under serious stress. In other words, perseverance is patience put into practice. And James points to the examples of the prophets and to Job. Why is it important for us to know the stories of the saints in the Old Testament? Why is all of these hundreds of years of history and chapters of stories that on the one hand seem so irrelevant to us today, so also vitally important for us? Because they are all fantastic examples of patience and perseverance. It's actually kind of ironic if you go back and look, because if you actually go back and read the book of Job, he really wasn't very patient at all. He's actually really impatient. And so it's kind of funny that we talk about the patience of Job. But we do that because ultimately Job did persevere. And he did trust in God. And as a result, God restored to him all that he had lost and so much more than that. Which is also important to remind us that when the Bible talks about blessings, it often means something very different from what we tend to mean by blessings today. We today tend to associate God's blessings with money and stuff and some vague idea, some ambiguous idea of being happy. But the Bible's talking about something that is so very much deeper. And the most blessed are often those who are the most marginalized and those who have suffered the most. Think about how the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 begin. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And then to the end of those Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Sometimes the blessings that God gives us are physical and material, but most often they're blessings of the heart and of the soul, of the spirit, of our character. The greatest blessing that God can give to any of us is for us to become more like Jesus Christ, not just in nature, but also in experience. So James tells us to patiently wait for the coming of the Lord, because God's timing is perfect, the judge is near, and blessing comes through perseverance. And then, in the last verse of our passage, James seems to suddenly shift gears. He writes, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. This is almost a word-for-word quote of what Jesus says in Matthew 5:37. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Just as James says, we shouldn't grumble against one another, because then we're putting ourselves in the position of the judge. So also, we shouldn't swear, because then we're risking judgment. We're risking being condemned. We ought to be people of such character that we don't have to back up what we say with, I swear, or I promise. Because simply, our yes or our no is good enough. As the saying goes, my word is my bond. Well, it should be. And people should just know if you say it, you're saying it is as good as doing it, as getting it done. And just as we trust in God's promised word to come back, so also others around us should be able to trust our word when we give it, no matter the trials and struggles that we're experiencing. Brothers and sisters, the truth is we are an inherently impatient people, and our culture is only becoming more rushed and more harried, it seems like, with each passing day. Learning to be patient, even when the times are good, but especially when the times aren't, is a challenge for us. But it is the path that Christ has laid before us. And it's a path that is infinitely more enriching and beneficial than dashing to and fro, as the world constantly tries to get us to do. Brothers and sisters, step out of the hustle and bustle. No matter the circumstances of your life, but particularly in the times of trial and struggle, remember that Jesus is coming back. So be patient, because God's timing is perfect. The judge is near, and blessings always come through perseverance. Amen. Would you please bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord God, we hear your word this morning, your invitation to be patient, to trust, to rest. and part of us resonates and we hear that and we say, yes, oh, that sounds so good. But it's also so hard, Lord. Would you help us to trust you more? Would you help us to lean more deeply into you? To know that we can stand firmly on the rock of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because when we stand firmly on Him, our footing is sure, our foundation is solid. We need not fear or worry or be anxious. We can trust in you. And we can be patient because you are our God. And you always do what you say. And you said you were coming back. In your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.